New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Rev Robert with you over here, hiding behind the banner.
Ha ha ha. Rev Z right here.
I'm Rev Bill here in Philadelphia, the other side of the country.
Tori Marcioni, same as him. Also, daughter of minister. See the resemblance.
There we go. Thank you. Welcome to Ministers Talking Shit. This happens every Friday. Many of you that are regular watchers of our program know Reverend Bill, and he's been promising us forever to bring his daughter Tori onto the program. Based on the pre-show, she's going to fit in real well right around here. So buckle up and get ready. We've got some hot takes for you today. The first story is not where we started our conversation, but I want to throw this out there first because I think it is the funny story of the week. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is facing accusations of fraud in her home state of Arkansas for paying a friend $19,000. For what retails at the most a $7,000 lectern. Now, I'm not sure who needs a $7,000 lectern to begin with. However, it's interesting that she paid her friend $19,000 for a lectern. Her friend is not in the lectern business. She's in the travel business and promptly took Sarah to Paris for a week, along with a number of other ladies. So let's open it up to our panel. First of all, does anybody need a $19,000 lectern? And what's the appropriate punishment?
I'm sure somebody does, but no.
I would think it would be a minister, not a...
I was getting ready to say, Tori, I don't think I need one, but I'd love to speak at one just one time.
Will it make the pearls of wisdom more pearly coming out of my mouth, standing behind a $19,000 lectern?
Yes. Your words will be golden.
Well, it's got a little step behind it, so it'll make you, you know, feel a little taller, Bill.
I need that.
Okay. It would make the passing of the basket so much more urgent, you know.
Exactly. God said you need to pay for this lectern.
And I hadn't heard about of this story, so during the intro, I went and looked up one of the stories, and this is just following the typical news pattern of, you know, somebody hatches a plot to defraud their people and take their money and use it for some nefarious purpose, and then they get caught innocently. There's somebody going through the credit card receipts going, what? Right. And asked about it, and oh, well, it's an accounting mistake. We'll look into it. And as soon as it gets brought up as a problem, it's an attack by the liberals.
That liberal math.
That liberal earth. How dare that arithmetic work that way?
Yeah. The other part of this story that I love is after they were caught, somebody went in and hand wrote on top of the digital receipt for reimbursement, which now is actually forging a government document and an official document, which adds to the charges. They claim the Republican Party in Arkansas was going to reimburse the state for this lectern. And in great fashion, they said, we never said that. And the Republican Party denied the whole thing. We never said we'd pay you 19 grand for a lectern. So,
you know, here is a classic demonstration or display of just willful arrogance, which happens a lot in politics, when someone thinks that they are above everybody else, they have this air about themselves, which she had, Ms. Huckabee did, of everybody else's is fodder. And now she's gotten so above the law, ha ha ha, that now she is part and parcel with everything that she supposedly stands against.
I think that she's just following a very good example set by Clarence Thomas. You want to go on vacation, you let your friends take you.
I'm just waiting for the reality show of like federal prison. The Housewives of Federal Prison.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Governing from behind bars.
Well, Trump is trying to do it. I'll get very close to it anyway. So
yeah,
we might that show may be coming to a theater near you real soon.
Yeah, and the casting call is going to be big. They're going to have to go through a lot of applicants.
Hey, and if you get denied in the first two times, just ask for another vote.
Yeah. Is that reality show playing out right now in the vote for the House Speaker of the House, I think?
Ah, yes, Jim Jordan showing how many times the former wrestler can be thrown to the mat by his own team.
Well, I look at that one this way. You know, it took 15 votes, I think it was, for them to confirm McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So Jordan figures he's got at least another 12, 13 tries before mm-hmm. he gives up, mm-hmm. right?
I'm not sure that's the bar that you want to be trying to clear.
Yeah.
What does that do to someone's brain? To be going out for something and to have like the only thing standing between you and that thing that you want to just be what your delusion, your complete unwillingness to take a hint, like.
Well, you know, and here's a somber note, if you will. When you look at what's going on, we were joking, tongue in cheek, about the reality show and everything. But when we look at the antics that are going on in the departments of the government that are supposedly, you know, have the people's best interest, and it really looks like a reality show, it becomes very difficult for the people to take this thing serious, right? So as a result, lawlessness, and scandals and all these other things that are nefarious, as they say, that the people have to be controlled by, if you will, from legal aspect. Now it's happening in the people who run the government. So it's like, you know, how do we begin to create a world that works for all when, you know, all of these ills, homelessness, food insecurities, transportation, infrastructure, all these things are facing us, and these people are buying $19,000 lecterns. They're so narcissistic that they're running over and over again after the people that, no, we don't want you. I don't know where we're headed with that.
Well, perhaps we should have a debate between the reality show hosts. And by that, I mean Sean Hannity and Lawrence O'Donnell. Because having the two of them square off, you know, with the notion that they're at least a little bit journalists, not that they're necessarily either of them accountable for what they say, but at least you get the whole story rather than just immediately, you know, duck and cover, blame somebody else, and change the subject. So,
wow,
that'd be an interesting idea. I don't think it'll ever happen.
Yeah, it's we you know, as Dr. King said, we have some difficult days ahead trying to sort all this out.
Yep.
Representing the future of our country, I'd love to hear from Tory on this one.
I'm waiting for Cardi B to run for president. She recently revealed a deep interest in World War II, and I just think that she is more competent than most of the people we already have in there, and a whole lot more charismatic. So Cardi B 2024.
Oh my God.
I wish I were completely kidding, but I'm not. They've all just disappointed me so much.
there's a biography coming out of Mitt Romney, and apparently one of the little tidbits in the book is that in 2020 there was the suggestion that he run for president as an independent, and the suggestion was made by his running mate, or proposed running mate, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah,
it's like
I just saw that.
Wow. Yeah, that's.
Now there's debate over whether it's absolutely fact that she spoke to him and suggested that he run. It's up for debate whether she said she would be on the ticket, but her best friend Gayle King
mentioned
she mentioned it the other day on the newscast, saying that yes, she remembers the conversation and she did speak to him about running, but mum's the word on whether she was going to be on the ticket.
Wow. Oprah's a great example of someone who should have taken her money and shut up and just gone to her Maui complex and stopped. She was doing fine. She had a great people liked her, and the more we learn, the less she should talk, I think.
Well, I was in Salt Lake City during the 2002 Olympics. And Mitt had to come in and save the 2002 Olympics. All of us agree it was a mess. And you don't see what's going on behind the scenes when a city is ramping up for something like that. And the legislature was a mess. The local predominant religion was trying to maneuver and control absolutely everything. And Mitt is a good old Mormon boy himself, so he was the natural fit to come in and, you know, abandon Massachusetts and come in and save the Olympics. And the more I got to recognize, I don't like him either. He just likes to smile, and I think Tory's got onto something. He keeps his mouth shut for the most part. He's very judicious in what and when he says. But I'm very happy that he's not running for president. I'm very happy he's getting out of politics altogether, I think. So, but yeah, I had not heard that Oprah was throwing her hat behind Mitt. And that.
Well, yeah, I found that out in the in one of those news quizzes. You know, this is something that came out in the book. Which of these five people do you think was pitched as a running mate? And I immediately ruled out Oprah. It's like, no, that could never be it. And that couldn't happen. And
I think it's not.
There it was happening. Ay, ay, ay.
Have you guys heard about the other big news coming out of Utah? About the influencer mommy blogger family, where the mom is now in prison and... Everyone's like, wow, the Mormon church really shouldn't have been recommending this woman as a counselor for 15 years. Right. Oops.
Yes. Yeah, that is a very interesting story. And I'll tell you, having lived 15 years in Utah did not surprise me one bit. It really didn't. This poor family, the kids, being absolutely abused. And abused for money, and it really does fit the Mormon playbook, in my opinion, very well. I'm going to get in trouble for that one, I'm sure, but it really does fit their playbook as well. So we've got a comment, Moments with Michelle. Hello, Michelle, welcome aboard. She's saying, what about Bernie Sanders? Is Bernie still with us?
Oh, yeah.
He is. He's like in charge of a good committee. He's the only committee that's doing good stuff. He's amazing, but he's so old. I mean, they're all so old. If Bernie could make it, like, survive long enough to be president, I would vote for him for sure.
Okay, which leads to my big question, and I'd love to hear Tori's take on this as well. How about Marianne? Why is it that the popular government, well, I just answered my own question because it's the mainstream media. But why won't people take Marianne seriously? If you read her platform, if you look at what she truly stands for, other than being a woman from California, what about Marianne Williamson? And we were all left speechless. And a hush fell over the crowd.
Go ahead, Bill.
I like Marianne Williamson, and she's wonderful and insightful and encapsulates large swaths of our philosophy in a very practical way. And there is a certain gravitas that people who are at that level of politics have, and she hasn't shown that at this point.
Fair enough. So,
does she have good ideas? Yeah, she has good ideas, and, you know, from time to time, so do I, but I do not have the gravitas to play in that arena. So,
And I think one of the challenges that she faces is that she is labeled a new thought practitioner, and unfortunately, the broader community still has a, you know, burning incense kind of approach or understanding, rather, of what new thought is, right? And unfortunately, they don't understand the roots, at least in this country, comes from the Transcendental Meditation community with Walt Whitman and Emerson and all these people. On one hand, they admire and revere, but when you take that philosophy and begin to put it into practice, now we got another thing that they don't understand, and so they don't want to go there. I think that's part of it anyway.
Z, I don't completely agree with you. It's that Marianne Williamson is talking the philosophy and basically change your thinking, change your life directly, and it is much more effective to take it and use it and do something else with it. For example, there was this guy who ran a relatively effective campaign for president who grew up in Norman Vincent Peale's church, stole money, got funded to go into the real estate business, used that to become famous, then became a celebrity, and still using the same thing of if you say something often enough, you can make people believe that it's true, derailed the philosophy and, in my opinion, the country. So it's not like we're not ready for the philosophy. We're just not ready to have the philosophy just vanilla served up on a plate by itself.
Well, you know, as strange as it is, I never ran into – I used to go to see Vincent Peale at Lincoln Center when I lived in New York. I never saw that person, but I think I might know who you're talking about. because I saw a guy come down the aisle once that resembled the person, but – I think I agree with that, but that is a transformative process that happens to all people, I think, or most people when they step into politics with any ideology, is that the allure and trappings of power begins to corrupt you if you're not there to serve. And that's where, you know, I think the all of it becomes from. If you claim yourself to be a public servant or a servant to the community, that's what you have to be. And if you obtain some wealth, it's because of what you have accomplished, not by the position that you hold. And that's where the challenge comes in. We got the story about Ms. Huckabee out there with the lectern and that whole thing. Power has just, I mean, first of all, the retail price was supposed to be $5,000. Who needs a $5,000 lectern? I'm not going to give that many speeches. Well, I need that thing to be $5,000. And then if you buy it for $19,000, case closed.
I keep flashing on the fact that we're fighting over definitions, because I agree with both of you, right? We're here to, politicians should be serving the people. I think the problem is politicians don't consider us people unless we're donating at a certain level. So unless you're giving in the six figures, you're not really a person to many of these folks. You're just a resource. and you know, we're dancing around Donald's name like there's a gag order on us. Right. So my real question is, how long is it going to take for Donald to break the gag order that he was placed under this week? And are we going to hold him responsible when he threatens the life of this judge?
Of course not. Have we held him accountable at any other point? It doesn't work. Like, he's Teflon. And, like, he, I think, could run a successful campaign from prison. He is so impervious to reality because of the base that he's got in his corner. They're so activated and they're so on board.
And this is a direct result of privilege. What happens when someone grows up with privilege, or the assumed privilege is assumably bestowed upon a certain subset of the total community, and then when that most of that subset are not privileged, but they hang on to the trappings of privilege, it only takes one person who can articulate that, who can embody that, to rile them up to stuff that's just totally unconscionable in terms of what they're doing. Here's a guy, I don't know how many charges he got, over 100 charges, bunch of them felonies, in all arenas, taxes, bribery, and everybody is loving this guy. And it's like, are you kidding me? If I did one of those things, not 100 of those things, if I did one of those things, I would not be on this show right now.
Well, you know, you got to hand it to Donald Trump for diversifying his portfolio. He didn't stick with tax fraud or with bank fraud or with wire fraud. He's, like, diversified into election fraud.
But he does
witness intimidation.
But it does appear he likes fraud, yes.
Well, yeah, fraud's a big going thing because it doesn't require any physical activity.
True that.
It's the new American dream that just have enough audacity and be self-centered enough and you can be king.
Yep, and just take it.
And you know, Tori, you bring something up, right? And Bill, you were talking about the new thought principles, if you will, and how they've gotten skewed. Right now, new thought ideas and practices are prevalent in every aspect of our community right now. 10 years ago for sure, and I dare say as many as 7 years ago, you would not hear corporate America major CEOs talking about mindfulness time for their workers and all this wellness stuff would not be in a corporate environment at all. And if it did show up, it would be shunned or looked down upon. Right now, it is the mainstay of almost definitely the Fortune 500, and I would dare say the Fortune 100, where you have all these things that have come out of the New Thought movement are becoming mainstay. They even cover, you know, you can go get acupuncture now and your insurance company will pay for it.
But, go ahead, Dad.
Oh, no, I was going to say what you're going to say. Go ahead.
No, I don't think you are. I mean, what happens, though, when any good tool can eventually be turned around, nothing is 100% anything, and what happens when these tools are being used to gaslight people? And that's now what people are associating these tools with. And that, I think, going back to Marianne Williamson, is part of the problem, that she comes off as flaky and out of touch and gaslighting, that it's like, oh, you thought they thought the things, and like tell that to somebody who's struggling in circumstance and tell them that they just need to look past their circumstance and they will tell you to go fuck yourself.
We used to have a term when I was selling software about being fully buzzword compliant. So, you know, whatever the current buzzword is, oh, yes, our software is fully buzzword compliant. You pick one and we've got that. And the question for me is, when it comes to mindfulness and inclusion and diversity and equity and equality and all of those things, are we actually doing those things, or are we doing what we can to become buzzword compliant so we can use the buzzword without getting caught? with our $19,000 lectern down.
Yes, the politically, are we being politically correct with Catch It All, right? And that's what it is now.
You know, Bill, I think you strike on a really important point. It was about probably 10 years or more ago that I was in the San Jose airport and had a little bit of a layover. So I'm wandering around, and down near the end of one of these concourses, there's this little door, and it says meditation room. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I looked inside, and there's nobody in there. And I went in and I sat down and I did a little meditation. I was meditating for a while because I had a few hours to sit there. And so I sat for a while, and during the time I was there, nobody walked in the door. And so after I was done, I sat outside in that area of the concourse and I watched, and for an hour or more, people walked by, and some of them would nod at the door and they'd keep going. And they had a good idea. They had a space, but nobody used it. Are we at a point where New Thought has neglected to activate the power of this philosophy in our lives? And politics would appear to be a place that we don't activate. We, you know, pray it away. I don't read the news. Oh, I don't watch the news. Oh, I don't pay attention to what's going on. I'm just focused on what's out in the future. Have we neglected to activate the base that is New Thought, or New Thought adjacent, even as a term I now hear more often? I'm not really New Thought. I'm kind of New Thought adjacent. Okay. Have we failed to activate the people that claim they believe in this philosophy to actually do good and change the circumstances of our lives?
An interesting question.
It reminds me of something my dad always says, of like, you got to treat and move your feet. And people really like to forget the second part.
Yeah, and a lot of that got made much more difficult when corporations became people, and money became speech. And so there's an unlimited amount of money that's now available in politics. And this doubles back on something we were talking about a few minutes ago, is there is so much incentive to be in the politics game, to win in the politics game, because of the money. I think in a lot of cases now, the money is the primary cause rather than a side effect of being in government. You know, and there are always, you know, somebody's going to run for president. They're going to write a book. They're going to sell a lot of copies of their book. They're going to wind up with much more wealth coming out of the campaign or from being in office than they had going in. But it's not a direct, here are these people who have an agenda who are going to pour, you know, tens of millions of dollars into my lifestyle. Yeah. And that becomes part of the problem, because that, how do you say no to it? You know, all these people, you know, in Congress who absolutely positively know that Jim Jordan is not the right person to be the speaker. What they're afraid of is getting primaried out of their relatively safe Republican seat by somebody, you know, from the wacko fringe who's going to come at them from the right, and then they're not going to have the job that they're using to get all the money and the campaign contributions and all the rest of it. So when we're more interested in our job than we are in our district.
Get your hands off my lectern.
Yeah.
And it's not even about personal enrichment at a certain point. Like I read yesterday, it costs more than $14,000 a day to win a Senate seat. Like, your personal wealth being able to fund that is almost out of the question. So then you're immediately, before you even get into office, in the pockets of other people and outsourcing your authority. And so, I mean, I've always felt like anybody who raises their hand to lead should immediately be disqualified from leading. But the way that we've set it up, like, we are priming them to have their hands tied before they even say the first word.
It was Mitch that said corporations are people too. And if, right. So again, corporations have the money. Mm-hmm. They have that. You got to have enough money to be a person now. You got to have enough money to donate to be a person, because otherwise I could care less what you say. I need to go after the people with the money to keep my job.
Yeah. And they or a political PAC. You can get you one of them too. Or a lobbyist job for somebody, some group of companies. I mean, there are many different ways to do it. And I think the biggest challenge we have, which is the new thought principle, or really the global foundation, forget any principle, forget all the isms, right? I mean, we got enough isms to fill up 10 cups at least. But what we don't have is an understanding of oneness. If I take away the dirt on this earth, there will be no plants. So there's a oneness between plants and dirt. If I take away the air, there's no people on this planet. So there's a oneness or a connection at least between air and people. If we take away the water, there's no fish, there's no plants, there's no people. So we have to begin to understand this whole idea of oneness and connectedness, and that all of the resources that we're just totally abusing are depleting the water and the air and the earth. And pretty soon this will be a desert as opposed to a Eden. And we will be directly the blame for it. And we can start pointing fingers at Republicans and Democrats and independents and this friends and that one. But at the end of the day, we'll be doing it from an ethereal place because we won't be here.
Well, see, I like your story. But I also like the story about being able to drive anywhere I want in a pickup truck and fly places in a jet and not worry about whether the food is organic and, you know, hire illegal immigrants to do my lawn. And so, you know, yeah, on the one hand, you got a good story. That oneness thing sounds really good. But what about me?
But also, in order to make that work, you have to think so much smaller, so much more locally. Like, you in your community, who's growing your food, who's watching your back, who's taking your dog out. It shrinks the sphere of influence. And because we're in this, like, more, bigger, everyone's connected, everyone's voice matters. Like, it's impossible to find the oneness when we're so externally focused.
Ergo the statement, think globally, but act locally, right? Yeah. So there's the treat and move your feet. My treatment, my prayer is globally, things can come together. But then I act locally to implement that not only in word, but in deed. And we understand the principles enough to know that if I do that, and if I'm successful at that, I will influence one who will influence another. And pretty soon, it will go global. That's the whole thing about being an influencer, if you will, on social media. You put something out and you get one person who tells another who tells another. Pretty soon, is everywhere.
So let's spend billions on focusing on America's problems rather than just sending that money overseas.
Do I have to hold my hand up to vote? Do I have to check a box? How do I vote for that?
And, like, don't get me wrong. I'm all about humanitarian aid. Where people are being oppressed, regardless of who the oppressor is, even if it happens to be one of our allies, we need, you know, that's part of the oneness as well. Mm-hmm. If we imagine and envision a world where borders are irrelevant, then it's only right to support and help our neighbors in their time of need. But at a certain point as well, is it does me no good if my house is falling down to go build you a porch. I got to fix my house. It appalls me how much money we send to help everyone else, and we won't help our veterans get off the street. We won't help our people get off the street, veterans or not. We won't help our veterans with mental health care. We continually tell our own people, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and quit your whining, while we promise to give money to oppressive governments to continue to oppress other governments.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like it. Yeah. So, there goes the story. And then the real question becomes, what character in this story are you going to play?
Maybe we're playing multiple characters in the story. You know, there's the old notion of, you know, good news, bad news, who can tell? So
a one,
you know,
person show.
Well, you know, Tori grew up in this teaching and then got a little traumatized and left for 10 years and didn't want to have anything to do with it. Was it 10 years? Was it more?
What time is it now?
and then became willing to deal with the sorts of new thought things that I have been saying straight through. And it turns out that she's a very good storyteller and branding person and communicator. And we were looking for somebody at New Thought Philadelphia, my spiritual community, to handle our digital media. And so she took over doing that. And it was because of health insurance.
Health insurance.
Yeah.
Thanks,
so,
America.
You know, forced her back into that because there was a health insurance plan that's available. And all she had to do was to sell her soul to the devil.
Yeah.
Not that we have
like
a devil.
Like our Instagrams.
Well, you know what, Bill? You make a great point, you and Tori, in that when I look at my kids included, who grew up in this philosophy, like all religions or practices or whatever, eventually the kids leave because they get disenchanted with the application of the philosophy. But it's ingrained in them. And so when they go out in the world, they begin to use these principles without proselytizing about them. And they begin to see one or two of them do really work, right? And so now they become great ambassadors. They don't necessarily always have the lingo correct, right? But they got the actions down pat.
So you
see them being successful and they're making decisions based on that. And so we have to figure out how to, like it used to be, I'll say, in indigenous communities where each individual in the cycle of life begin to understand their purpose. The elders, if you will, begin to become the wisdom keepers. Not that we're telling them what to do. We begin to tell them, look, I went down that road at least five times, and when you get to the big tree with the long arms, you need to go left, don't go right. Now you can do what you want to do, but I'm telling you, you want to go left, don't go right.
Right. Yeah. If you want to go to the fire swamp, go to the right.
Exactly.
I think there is our call for the day. Go left, don't go right. Beautiful. Well, folks, you know, we are almost running out of time here on Ministers Talking Shit. So I'm going to kick it over to Tori because, again, we get to have Bill at least, you know, once a quarter or so. We don't get to see you. We're really happy you've joined us today and found some time out of your real life to join a bunch of old farts talking about politics and everything else. I want to appreciate you and say thank you for following the memo and wearing a white sweatshirt today. Aldea is being put on suspension because of his, not doing that. But we'd love to hear any final thoughts. What wisdoms do you have that we haven't heard yet this morning?
Oh, man. No pressure there. I will just say that there are a couple of books that I've been thinking about throughout this conversation. And one of them is Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. And one of them is Braiding Sweetgrass. I'm forgetting the author's name. And also everything Tom Robbins has ever written. But that is in reading, in books, in the intimacy of just me and someone else's words is where I have been able to find spirituality and truth because of my own spiritual community traumas. And so I think that that's a really special place to start and maybe to return to if you haven't been there for a while. So how about
beautiful.
That?
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We hope you'll come back again sometime.
Definitely.
And I promise we won't twist your arm to become a reverend.
It wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
That's, no, that's got to be an inside job, and she ain't ready.
Oh. Part two, to be continued.
Yo, folks, these two live about, I think you said, about a quarter of a mile from each other.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to be sharing conversations over lunch today. So, LZ, how about you, Z? Any final thoughts for the day?
You know, my final thought is this one quote by Emerson that says, "Don't go where the path may lead. Go where there's no path and leave a trail." And we need some trailblazers now who have some semblance of what life really is, and beginning to exemplify that in our everyday actions. And we know that as we're going down these roads, we'll see that little path on the left, or that trail rather, and then we say, "Ooh, that looks interesting," and we can make some change happen in this place.
Beautiful. Thank you. Red Bill?
Well, I'm first of all personally amazed that we managed to get through an entire episode of Ministers Talking Stuff today without mentioning Israel or Gaza or the UAW strike. So there's a whole bunch of strikes going on, and we managed to talk about other things. And that's the reminder that we don't necessarily have to be completely captivated by the things that are getting headlines today. We can keep our eye on the ball and, as I love to say, be the light.
Beautiful.
Well said.
.com.
.com. Be the light. Be-light.com. Yes. Thank you.
See, thank you, promo girl.
That's that branding expert coming through. Real clear. Thank you for that. I want to say thank you to everybody that's watching today. Thank you for being a part of New Thought Media Network. We do have a full day of broadcasting out in front of you. Plan to join us. Let's be your own hero with Sekou Wright. Starts in just a few moments. Morning prayers is at 8:15. Reb Melissa with the morning sip at 8:30. 9 o'clock, Emma Moreno in our Spanish language programming. 9:30 is Spanish language prayers. Practicing infinite possibilities with Lindsay Lineback is at 10. 1 o'clock, the Joy Show with Reverend Barbara Jean. I'll be back with the good news at 5. Reverend Michael will be here with the fireside chat at 6. And of course, our evening prayer is at 8:15. However, throughout the day, I think my big takeaway is, when given the choice, go left.
Amen.
Until next time, we wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.